okay? What are you guys selling?
You're drowning and I throw you a life jacket. Would you grab it? Yes. Good. Pick up 200 shares. I won't let you down.
Pay that man his money.
Ask them how they'd like to see 30, 40% returns. What are they going to say? No? I don't want to see those returns?
Where's the money, Lebowski?
You're going to make a lot of money, right?
Be aggressive. Learn how to push.
Show him a 3% return. I'll trust you to watch his kids for the weekend.
I'm a big fan of money.
Move around. Motion creates emotion.
I did not know this.
That's it. I'm done.
Hello and welcome to Stacks and Giants. I'm Tom Holly. Mr. Matt Wilbur on the board. What do we got going on this morning, man? We got a big rally. I'm digging up money supply here. I'll get it in a second, and then I'll do the rest of the stuff. It's hard to do all these things at once, you know, even at my age. Dow up 369. Everybody's happy.
We've only
with
been
that.
Doing it for 20 years.
I know. S&P futures up 35, 50. NASDAQ futures. We never used to have to keep up this much stuff in the morning. NASDAQ futures up 121. Frank, how are you?
Good, good. We never had this much information in the morning. We couldn't even get the pre-opening stock prices when we first started.
That's because there weren't any.
I would think they were trading, you know, over the counter, weren't they?
I don't think so. Not any place you could no. You could never do a trade. I mean, somebody might have. The Instanet traded later, but that was after.
Yeah, but
we started.
They had information though.
Well, everybody's always had information.
But Instanet didn't trade until what? Maybe the late 80s.
Yeah. It was what a fine market that was, huh? God. Anyway, we are.
I worked for somebody who used to rat hole on Instanet. Put in a big bid, down a couple bucks, and then you just start sending 100 shares, 200 shares, 50 shares.
I've got, guess what I've got here? Guess what? 13-week previous, well, that's March 23rd, that's not doing anybody any good. 3 months previous, where are we at here? Oh, 13 weeks previous, back to March 23rd. Guess what M2 is up to on a annual basis?
Percentage-wise?
Yeah.
I don't know, 37%.
55.
Jeez.
52 weeks previous, which is a year, 20.9. I've been preaching to a couple of Southsiders and a couple of Iowans, which is worse, by the way.
Jill's not an Iowan, but...
Oh, but I wasn't talking to her. I was talking to you.
You said a couple.
Well, what makes you think I don't know anybody else from Iowa? By the way, I didn't name you.
I was just saying.
You should be a little sensitive.
Just saying. Well, you know, you wouldn't have liked my buddy. Remember Mug?
Yes. I knew Mug very, very well. I was in one of the very first fantasy football leagues with Timmy.
Mug's greatest line. Boy, could Mug hit a softball. Mug's greatest line was, if he really said something stupid, he'd say, what are you, from Iowa? I don't know how politically correct that was, but...
But he was the person I came up with the term dumb and proud of it for.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Mug was the guy. They remember those stupid shots they called the blowjobs where you're supposed to just... You couldn't use your hands?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mug and one of the ladies that worked for us, Rosemary... They're over at Broker's Inn, of Dear Departed Broker's Inn, and all these Asian guys are in there, and they start Rose and Mug start doing these shots, and all of a sudden the Asian guys want to start doing it, but they couldn't do it. They had those big huge shot glasses over there, and they kept going, mouth too small, they're spilling all over themselves. Like, this was. They kept trying, though. I have to say that for them. Anyway, what an amazing world we live in, or we used to live in, and probably still live in. But the weekend, now we got all these baseball players opting out. Southern Cal is probably not going to go back to school. How are they going to play football, Frank?
Well, the most interesting thing about Southern Cal is they canceled the Alabama game, but not the Notre Dame game.
I couldn't find confirmation on that Alabama game thing.
I think I heard it from my favorite sports podcast, Pat Forte, Wetzel, and Pete Thamel.
Okay.
It's irreverence at the highest level. They don't like the SEC or the Big 12, so I'm good.
Well, yeah, but how are you gonna? How are you not gonna have students in the place and say it's okay to play football when you can't have more than one guy in a dorm room? And this is kind of getting
follow weird. The cash.
Well, why do you think we're up today? Because the White House is going to come out with a new plan this week and just say we have to live with it? That's their new plan?
I mean, they're coming out with some sort of, the rumor mill says that it's incentives for corporations.
Well.
And there's rumors about what it is, but I can't find out if the corporations can buy their taxes with, or not taxes, their stocks with those. And, you know, everybody talks about they're not going to let them do it, but show me.
I don't. Where this is starting to go, I don't see how. I don't know. Anyway, but the people that I was saying.
You're right, though, Tom. You've talked about the Weimar Republic. You know, I have. When I was a kid, I had stamp collectors. I was a stamp collector, and I had stamps that had one mark on it, then five marks, overprinted. And it was up to, like, a million marks overprinted on it.
Well,
so, yeah. I think that's what we're seeing is part of it is, you know, the beginnings of hyperinflation, at least on asset level.
I think if you go to a lot of places, I was reading a Tribune article this weekend about inflation in the supermarket. I don't know where guys are going with this. Where they're getting this economic theory? I mean, we talk about the debt of the. I should go back and look at this. I'm sure I can find it, or my guys, the Fed, can tell me. When we came out of World War II, we had more debt per population percentage wise than we do right now. Of course, we just fought a friggin' war, right? I guess you could say this is a war too, but the thing of it is in Trump's best times, and I'm not blaming him because everybody else did the same thing. In the best of times, we're borrowing money, which you wouldn't think you'd have to, but that's what we do. The difference is here is the Fed being so much of a part of it. I mean, if all of a sudden we went out and borrowed this money from the people who still have it and gave it to other people in an attempt to turn the bus around, get people back working, and the idea was somehow or another we're gonna repay. We're not doing that. We don't have that discipline. We're just printing it, and I don't know how
we don't have the courage to take the money from people that have it and give it to people who don't.
Right,
which was done before. Also, now we go, hey, we're going to cut taxes, and the system will create more money.
Well, I'm not talking about taxes. I'm talking about during the war they encouraged people whatever extra nickel to pay to buy bonds. That's how they borrowed the dough, instead of the Treasury going out and well, the Treasury did too, but basically, individual people. That's why the Milton Friedmans of the world. When I was in class with the guy, people would ask him questions because nobody wanted to learn what he was teaching. It was so friggin' hard. This supply side economic, not supply side like Reagan, but all the different graphs and all the calculus that goes with. How all these demand and supply curves are. I mean, it was bad. So anytime anybody get them off topic, everybody wanted to do it, right? So, but somebody asked him, you know, what was the, what's the problem with national debt? And he said there isn't any problem with national debt. And the explanation was, it's like the Fahey household. Nobody cares if Susan, she'd never owe you. You owed her $200. What's the difference? The Fahey household is flat, right? So,
right.
So his point was, if the government goes out and borrows money from the citizenry, looking at it from the outside, you're flat. What's the difference? And that's what happened during World War II. The government borrowed money from people here. I don't think we were borrowing from Germany to fight Germany. We were borrowing from people here. Right? And we weren't borrowing from Japan to fight them. So,
we were lending it to England.
Right.
To buy stuff. But it was from us.
Right. And it's sort of the same. Instead of giving them the destroyers, we lent them money to buy the destroyers. It was all just a political two-step, right? But it's the same thing. Plus, most of those destroyers.
But we employed people building the destroyers.
Right.
And it was, I like that two-step better than just giving them to them.
Well, do you like having a Fed involved now instead of just printing the money and spending it?
That's different.
Same thing. What's the difference? Except Goldman Sachs makes money both sides.
Goldman Sachs revised their numbers this weekend. They from 4.2 to a 4.9% decrease in the economy for the year.
This
just saying.
One of the things that is totally dropped out of the economic vernacular that somebody will bring back. I mean, maybe it'll be somebody listening to our show. Who knows? Somebody will bring back the difference between nominal and real. And we have not had that distinction in what? How long ago was 1982? 37 years? It's a long time. Right?
We don't have that distinction when talking about inflation either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're
anything.
Yeah, we're not going to say that the nominal the nominal income or revenue at Matt Weber's restaurant was $1 million, but by the way, he was down 40% in dinners. So it really so the actual production was down 40%. We're not going to do that.
We don't talk about nominal income at all.
No.
You know, let's say over the past 30 years. You know, real income versus nominal income. The nominal income is probably down for the bulk of the American population.
Well, I know you're the wrong man to ask, but have you been getting out at all with the new, you know?
Oh, and I get out all the time.
I'm not talking about.
I do wear a mask.
I'm just saying, you don't get out like the rest of us. You know. Anyway, so.
Yes.
One of the guys that I've known for a while has been dying to go to the Restaurant Depot, right? So I said, all right, my truck's in the garage on Friday. If you want to go, you got to come get me. So he comes gets me. Off we go to the depot. So I buy 12 dozen in a case jumbo eggs because in the office there's nobody down here open. So if you want to eat, you got to cook. Fortunately, we have a kitchen. Guess how much? 12 dozen jumbo.
$18.
$11.74. So less than a buck a dozen.
I can't imagine what those chickens look like or hens look like.
See, now you immediately go into they're mistreated hens. I mean, who knows? I don't think so. Maybe they are.
But Wait!
I think they all get along. They all have free range. They all get along with each other. Who the hell, you know? Anyway, the guy I'm with goes, hey, let's get some breakfast. So we look around. Half the place are closed because it's the day before the 4th. We find some place in Chicago Avenue. We walk in. They got the outside, and they got, you know, the tables separated inside. Everybody's spraying down tables. I mean, you know, they're doing it right. So they're all wearing masks. You wear a mask when you walk in. I wore a mask when I walked in, Frank. I'm not, you know, but I don't want to try and
I know. And, you bark more than bite.
So I sit down, and a lady walks up, and she goes, I need your name and phone number. And I said, you haven't even bought me a drink yet. she looks at me. I said, what do you need my name? Of course, they're going to get your name because somebody's going to pay with a credit card anyway. But anyway. So, okay, so the guy I'm with going, geez, what are you, so I give her my name and number. Then some lady walks up and calls us a gentleman, and I go, wait a minute, first she asked my phone number, now I'm a gentleman. What are you guys doing here? I'm just saying, it feels good, but you know. So she goes, that's in case somebody gets it here, we can trace you. I go, I'm not so sure I really want to be traced, but, whatever, knock yourself out. I mean,
you have a cell phone, don't you, Tom?
It's not a smartphone. I turn all the smart features off. It's just a phone. Even though it looks like a cell phone.
It's an Iowa phone.
Yeah, it's an Iowa phone. It's one step above a flip.
Okay. You Luddite.
So what? I'm going to put the trace feature. What if these girls really like me? They're going to be calling me all the time. I mean, what are the chances of that happening?
Be very careful of women that like us.
Oh, man, you're not kidding. Anyway, so guess what? Guess what the new prices are in the menu?
$9.95. Well, you're in the city, so I mean, what was $7.95 here is now $9.95 to $11.95.
You can't touch bacon and eggs or an omelet on the menu for less than $15. Most of the stuff was $16, $17. I just bought 12 dozen eggs for $11. I'm going, this is just swell. God, I mean, I got my gas bill, and it's an apartment, right? And
right.
Of course, these guys, they somehow screw up, and it's this you know, alleged picking up the meter reading from the street. So guess how much gas they got me using for the month of June?
I have no idea.
Try zero. Bill's still $45.
Oh, yeah, the delivery charges? It's outrageous.
The bill is double what it was.
I thought you were cooking. How are you at zero?
I didn't say I was at zero. No, I don't. The meter doesn't always, either they don't come by or something's wrong. They'll catch up. But I mean, I don't eat as much in June. Maybe I cook five times anyway. But it would be next to zero, so it should have been 48. But the point is, without even a gas bill, it's $45. Now, I'm going to say that's triple what it was 5 years ago on just that charge. Maybe double. So, this stuff, that's why when you go into a restaurant and you look at the price of eggs is zero, it's costing you $16 for an omelet. It has nothing to do with what you're eating. It's lease. How these guys are paying these leases, I have no idea. I mean, who was telling me that there was a restaurant downtown, the lease was $60,000 a month or someplace? Manny, is that? Was that you who was telling me that?
No.
In some place, in one of the places in Chinatown, the lease was $900 a day.
Wow.
Without being ethnically incorrect, that's a lot of chop suey. An egg foo-young.
Yes.
I don't see now what's going to happen to all these lease prices in the downtown. I stopped one of my buddies, Audrey, actually was listing a house for this guy. I, of course, stayed out of it because I don't know anything about it anymore. I know about houses, but I don't know anything about the clientele, so I don't even get in the conversation. Imagine me shutting up for an hour. But so one of the guys, his one daughter buys a condo. She works downtown, so they bought a condo right over by Union Station. And evidently,
okay.
And evidently during the riots, they're connected to this CVS. So, I mean, a drugstore, and they got all the, if you want, whatever, they have some items in there for groceries and stuff. So, the riots come to the CVS, they try and break through to the building, they turn all the elevators off, because they at least figured if the rioters had to walk up the stairs, they'd be too lazy to start busting the people's apartments. So the one daughter has the condo, the other one moves into the place, and now both of them are working from home. So the second one goes, well, if I'm working from home, I'm coming back with mom and dad, at least into a nice home where I got a yard and stuff. What the hell am I doing down here? I mean, why would anybody want to live in an apartment downtown and work from home?
I don't know. You drive around here in Palos Park, and every driveway during the, shelter in place, had from 4 to 8 cars in there. And, there aren't that many Catholic kids going, with their own cars here.
No.
So it was pretty impressive. And Palos Heights, too. Orland. You could drive by, every driveway was full. Everybody came home.
Well, you can't be in college where you got to go somewhere. Right?
Right. Hey, and Kevin was in the Nexus of the Beast, the Belly of the Beast this weekend. Did you see Diamond Lake in Michigan?
I did see
pictures on the news.
What those nasty people being next to each other.
All those nasty, and Kevin's, I don't know, 10, 12 miles from that.
Well, I don't, if you had to put a 10-point plan together to get somewhat big, I don't see how you scare the hell out of people, and then one day, you think you're going to give the all clear? You'd be like Roseanne, and Dana. Never mind. I don't know how you do that.
Well, actually, the day before, our fearless leader did tell us that 99% of the cases are no problem at all.
I think you survive. I'm not going to go with the no problem at all part.
Well, there's also, I think the mortality rate, calculated mortality rate right now is 2.5% to like 4.9%, depending on economic demographics.
I've actually, I don't know if I sent it to you, but there was a bunch of stuff last night where people are thinking if you actually look at the, now everybody seems to agree across the board with the Indiana study. When I say everybody agreeing, does anybody ever agree? It appears that there has become widespread agreement. Jose, does that sound better, Manny? That the penetration into the population is roughly 10 times what the announced numbers are. So
mm-hmm.
if you believe that number, you're anywhere between 0.4 and 0.7%, depending on the state and depending how much of it got in nursing homes, which puts it at about 4 to 5 times worse than the bad flu. which we've been
nobody
saying.
Nobody can explain why it's just the nursing homes that are so whacked. The age of the people, the employees are getting it too.
Well, they're not dying. Did you see the you see the thing Carl sent us? I don't know if we tweeted. Matty, you tweet that one out where they had, I don't know who puts together this stuff. It must be guys that have really nothing better to do. There's an average, I'll use the term death curve, average amount of deaths per day that are expected.
Mm-hmm.
And that in the states especially that had this early, we were above the line for like 2 months, and now in all the states that we were above the line, we're now below the line. So if you want to be a very cynical old suck, which I try not to be, plus I don't want to get this thing, so anybody thinks that I'm free and easy on this, I'm not. Basically, it's people who are going to die anyway, which is...
All of us.
Not all. No. I would never
all of us.
No, he's saying all of us are going to die.
Well, that's right. Well, but I mean, what would you say if you, hopefully your mom's still alive or whatever. If my mom was in a nursing home and she couldn't see me or my brother or anybody or play bridge or anything for 5 months with no end in sight, she'd be looking around for a knife. If you asked her, would you rather end it or be here? She'd say, I'd end it. I think we're totally underestimating, Frank, what social interaction stuff means to people.
Well, no, I understand that because we're old enough that our parents died, a good chance. Most of my friends' parents died. And there's that certain point where you know that the next opportunistic infection, whatever it might be, the flu, pneumonia, a cold, is going to take them out.
Yep.
And that's a fact of life. And if you have not seen this end of life cycle, you may be unaware of it. The problem I see is the impact of the virus upon people without money, without access to health care. And I think it highlights a need, a glaring need for health care delivery, to look at that and look at it closely.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt. I mean, out of all the things we talk about, other stock market and sports, how healthcare is impacting our country and how it by being miscounted in the inflation numbers has led to dramatic changes in our society without people, and people keep telling it's okay. The difference between somebody, but you know what, Frank, it's always been high-end healthcare, or any healthcare, but high-end healthcare has always been incredibly it's been distributed to people who even know about it, or people who have the ability to go get it. A lot of us even know about it. I mean, how many people in the 70s in a lot of poorer rural communities even knew there was such a thing as open-heart surgery? I mean, how many people there who had a heart attack ever made it to somewhere for a triple bypass? This is not new.
Yeah, triple bypass didn't come out until about 74, 75, because my dad died young. And he had a couple of heart attacks and went to the Cleveland Clinic, where they were the national leaders in it. And there was too much heart damage to do a bypass.
Well, one of my buddies, his dad had it when I was in high school, so it had to be 68. I think the dude died like 5 years ago or something. Talk about strong stuff, but I can't imagine what that must have been like. Did they even have a heart machine back then?
There was Christian Barnard, because they put before a transplant, they put you on a heart machine.
So there must have been, yeah. There had to be.
But I'm sure it was experimental. But, I mean, an example of how fast medicine advanced. The two biggest areas were like on cardiac care.
Yeah.
My dad died at 46. I had two stents at age 46. I'm still alive. He died.
Oh, yeah.
And neonatal care. The preemies, it used to be if you were born at 3 pounds, a good chance you were going to end up with CP, cerebral palsy, or something else. Now 2-pounders and 3-pounders are just,
Yeah, what's the big deal? Well, the surgery on pre-infants, I can't even imagine what that is. The microscopic lenses people look through and all this stuff. I mean, it's it's really something. I mean, there's no doubt. If you're sick, you want to be sick today and not 40 years ago, right? I mean,
or have a knee operation.
Oh, God. Yeah, they.
I mean, people were incapacitated for, you know, 6 to 9 months. They wanted to operate on both knees. I went and saw a doctor 10 years ago. He goes, there's nothing wrong with your knees.
Well, at least take out cartilage. Anyway, Frank, when does what people perceive is going on in the economy match up with the market? Or how long can the Fed keep this going? I'm putting everybody's money I have basically to work with real tight puts everywhere. Because I don't want to miss out on the party, yet I have no idea when it turns, and I do mean when, not if.
Oh, I agree wholeheartedly. It's when. The problem is you and I have been looking for when for a few years, and it's so confusing because given our understanding of looking at 40 years of information and being able to simulate more and more and more and more, none of this makes sense other than Weimar-type inflation.
That's about it. Or Iran, same thing in Venezuela. But anyway, Frank, thank you very much.
Right,
but we'll talk to you. By the way, your name was being bandied about last night as we were talking about birds in the suburbs, and you weren't being named as a bird. You were named as somebody who watches birds. So,
It's a wonderful way to social distance. In
the
forest preserves, and I know all the back doors to the so-called closed forest preserves. It's just the parking
lot. Don't say
lot.
That. Tony might be listening. Anyway, take care of yourself. But
give him my email, and I'll tell him how to do it.
No, she, Tony Preckwinkle.
Oh, she?
Yeah.
I'll give her Susan's email.
S&P futures up 34. Dow futures up 345. Be right back, Mr. John Flanagan.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief.
We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Giants. I'm Tom Mowry. He's Mr. Matt Warren on the board. We have Mr. John Flanagan as well. S&P futures up 33. That's 1%. You know, Matty, what did we go? 18 months that one time without a 1% move? Now, if we don't do 1% a day or two, especially the upside, it's people feel like getting robbed.
Yeah.
Dow futures up 331. S&P futures up 118. Over in Europe, we've got rallies everywhere. DAX up 200. That's 1.6%. FTSE up 111, 1.8%. CAC around up 79, 1.6. But the real melt up is coming from Asia. Nikkei is up 407, 1.8%. Shanghai up 180. That's 5.7%. They're attributing it on CNBC to bull sentiment. I think there might be a lot of money coming from somewhere too. Hang Seng up 966, 3.8. Weren't these guys fighting like a month ago? Evidently we're not fighting when we need the money or something. Bonds, 0.68. They're not moving up at all. The Bund minus 0.43. And Japan is positive 0.04, looking like they're sticking on this positive side here, at least for the last couple of weeks. Oil of 40.60, that's down 5 cents. Brent's up 42 cents, 43.22. Natural gas up a dime, 184. Wow, was this a buy at 144? The thing is, it's such a huge contract that I can't do it. I'm not going to do it in front of my clients, but boy, what a buy. Arbob, 125, that's pretty much unchanged. Gold, we've got down 280, but 1787 still coming right at knocking on that 1800 door. Silver up 19 cents, 1852. And copper is up 2.5 cents. I'm sorry, up 1 cent to 276. So continuing to creep ever so slightly toward that $3 number. Matty, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. We have one crash in the area right now. It's on the inbound Stevenson right at Cicero near Midway Airport. And this is blocking the two right lanes, so a pretty significant crash that's causing quite the buildup on the Stevenson. I-355 to Lakeshore Drive is now 41 minutes on the Stevenson. From the Tri-State, it's 32 minutes. Apparently, a tow truck driver was hit around 2:45 this morning, and an investigation remains underway this morning, blocking the two right lanes. So expect delays throughout the morning due to that earlier crash. Everything else is looking good out there. No issues coming in on the Ryan, I-57, or the Bishop Ford. Eisenhower looking good, as are the Edens and Kennedy. Lakeshore Drive is quiet in both directions, and the suburban tollways are all quiet too. Only other issue to report is up in the northern suburbs. Central Avenue in Niles between Toohey Avenue and Jarvis is closed due to buckled pavement. So that has Central Avenue closed. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, another hot and steamy day, just like it's been the last week or so. We'll reach a high of 90 degrees in Chicago. It could be even warmer than that in some of the western suburbs. Right now it's crystal clear and 79 degrees downtown, going up to a hot and steamy high of 90. For our Phoenix listeners, it's a scorcher today down in Arizona. Sunshine with a high of 112. Right now it's clear and 82. On this day, Chief, July 6th in history, on July 6th, 1933, it was the first Major League Baseball All-Star Game, and there are rumors that you were in attendance. I don't think that's true.
I've been there.
It was at Comiskey Park on the south side, and the American League beat the National League in the first ever All-Star Game, 4-2. Babe Ruth hit his first All-Star home run in that game. And then fast forward 50 years later, July 6th, 1983, the year I was born. No coincidence there. It was the 50th MLB All-Star Game, 50 years later, also at Comiskey Park. And Angels outfielder Fred Lynn hit his first All-Star Grand Slam as the AL blew out the NL 13-3.
Did the park come down, like, right after that?
Right after 83,
I don't know. No, it's, the new one's 20 years old, right?
Yeah, no, it's more than that. I think it came out in the early 90s is when the new one went up. I'll have to get the exact year. John might know, but I think it was the early 90s, not the early 80s.
Yeah, I think it's either 20 or maybe 25. I don't think it's 30, because can't they get out of the lease after 25 and it's coming up or something? Josh was telling us some story.
Yeah.
It's I remember going to the old one. It wasn't the nicest place. I'll tell you what, though, the best seats I've ever been to a game.
91, so it's coming up on 30 years.
It must be a 30-year lease then. The best seats ever at a sporting event, Manny. The park was kind of lousy for seating. Nowhere near as nice as Wrigley, because when you went toward the outfield, the thing didn't bend in. So if you were between like third base and the foul pole, your seat pointed right to the center fielder. You know it's like that?
So your neck's crooked the whole way.
You know what park is also like that? Even though everybody loves the place or says nothing but good things about it, is Camden Yards.
That sounds like a mistake.
Yeah, I was shocked. Absolutely shocked. I think the seat might rotate a little, but the thing doesn't bend around. Anyway, the seats right behind home plate in the upper deck, it couldn't possibly have been a park ever, except maybe like Ebbets Field or someplace, where you were closer to the field in the upper deck. If you had that first or second row, John, was that the best seat of any, ever for baseball? You know,
I think I sat there once, and it was the best. We usually sat in the cheaper upper deck seats on the third base side with my dad, general admission. But, yeah, I have many fond memories of that park. I think my dad might have been at that game that Maddie just mentioned in 1933, the first All-Star game. I remember him talking about that.
Maybe if you fell out of this other stand, you could land on the umpire if you felt like it was, if you were that close. And the net only came to the bottom, to the first row. So, I mean, if one came back hot, you better be ready for it. Not like today, you know, but...
Yeah.
John, we used to go to our Cub Scouts. Every year we had a trip to the Sox game. And they'd show up with these CTA buses and going from St. John Fisher, then city streets in a bus to Comiskey was like, talk about hell. Going down Western Avenue or something. And I think I went twice. Both times we got rained out, but you went anyway. And our seats were the last five rows in the upper deck in the outfield. Like, what the hell? Thank God there was no game. It was like, anyway, it was a, but that park, but they bought the park kind of sight unseen, as did the Tribune with Wrigley Field. And Wrigley Field turned out that they were one of the first stadiums, or maybe the first, to use reinforced concrete footings, where Comiskey Park did not. So the place was literally crumbling. Where Wrigley, I mean, there's been massive reinforcements that the Ricketts have put in with all the new stuff they put in, but, you know, it was pretty much going to stand forever. I mean, it wasn't going to stand with all the stuff, the new stuff, without reinforcing, but it was pretty much okay structurally. But Comiskey was not. Not to mention, what it was, the field was actually lowered in the Ryan or something, some story like that. If you had a lot of rain, the water would pour into the outfield from the streets, man. It would back up.
That's not good.
That's not good. No. So, anyway, John, we only had, how many people did we get, last week's total? 26 killed and 112, wounded. So, total shot 138. Is that a good or bad week?
Well, it seems to be the new norm. I guess it's, you know, a bad week by anybody's standards, but it's not a particularly remarkable week anymore in Chicago, so.
I'm checking here, Mr. Matt Weber, he reported that on Sunday, right by us, looking for it here, Matty.
Yeah, I have it. It says a 26-year-old man is dead after being shot in the Goose Island retail corridor Sunday afternoon. The victim was on the 1400 block of North Kingsbury when he was shot around 12:45 p.m., according to Chicago police. He was pronounced dead a short time later at Advocate Illinois Masonic Medical Center.
Quarter to one on a Sunday afternoon.
Yep. That's a little close to home.
Yeah.
About, you know, five blocks, on a Sunday afternoon. It's not exactly when you're walking your dog through that area, which I do. It's not exactly, what you want to see on a Sunday afternoon.
No. Boy, look at something. There was must have been a party at Sunday at 1:15 in the morning at 1500 South Millard. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people shot, 1 dead. So somebody, what did they have, a machine gun? Here's 5 people at 6100 South Carpenter. Make that, wait a minute, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is 11:35 p.m. on Saturday. 1, 2, 3, 4 dead. 1, 2, 3, 4 wounded. 8 guys. One of them, male 11, male 14 dead. Male 15 shot. That's for God's sake. That's more people than the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, wasn't it, Jen?
Yeah. The thing that's really frightening about this to me is that, you know, these don't have any kind of, you know, the earmarks of what you would think of as like a targeted assassination of a rival gang member or drug dealer. They're big, like, street parties that are invaded by people. People get out of these, you know, SUVs, open fire, and take off again. And, I mean, that's terrorism, I think. I mean, it doesn't look like there's any attempt or any desire to isolate people that you might have some vendetta against. You don't care who you shoot. And it's, you know, the more the better from your standpoint, but it isn't particularly important who gets hurt or shot.
No, it doesn't seem to be, does it?
That just, you know, frightens the heck out of me.
Well, yeah. I mean, do we think this guy on Kingsbury was the guy was shooting at many? We don't even know.
I don't know any further details, and of course, no arrests have been made yet.
No,
but we'll monitor it.
There was an episode, I think, 2 weeks ago. He was a DePaul student or a recent DePaul graduate who was walking home broad daylight after a shift at Starbucks, and somebody just shot him dead on the street. You know, I don't think that I know that the guy had any gang affiliations or anything that would, you know, make him a potential victim. But you know, he was clearly targeted and he was taken out. And there's absolutely no connection that anybody can find to anybody who would have done this. There's a couple other shootings like this that you kind of read if you can get through the newspaper articles about them, because they are long and full of details and full of gruesome statistics, but there's some that seem to be absolutely without any meaning or purpose whatsoever.
Well, 26,
90% of them there's no sense of a victim being, you know, targeted because of his or her identity, but clearly somebody is being targeted and they are being killed, and there's absolutely no purpose behind it that I can see.
Well, we had 26 shot and killed, 112 shot and wounded. Last year was 7 and 69. The year before, 10 and 42. The year before was bad, 15 and 69. The year before that, 6 and 62. And this is, we're talking double all these other years.
Yeah,
or worse.
There's a lot of lost time to be made up for.
Well, yeah,
locked inside for 3 months.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like we're slacking on the year. 329 shot and killed year to date.
That's right. They're making up for it.
As you know,
not to mention, not to bury the lead, another 7-year-old girl shot and killed, really horrific. You know, out in Austin over the weekend. But so it's like what, 3 weekends in a row now where there's like little kids under 10 that are dying from this as well.
And I absolutely do not. You know it's. When you see the news that's going around, and you see the riots, and you see all the stuff that the demonstrations, and you see, in the last 3 weeks, there's probably 5 things that I would, well, I'm not much of a demonstrator, but I would actually, you know, nobody uses a sandwich sign anymore, do they, Jen? They used to use a sandwich sign. Can you even get a sandwich sign, Manny? When's the last time you saw one?
You see them every once in a while, but not that often.
You have to probably go to a private carpenter. But, I mean, I was stunned that, and we talk about the COVID, that the Native Americans in some of these reservations, 60%, 50%, 60% don't have running water. Well, I'd walk a couple of blocks for that. I'd walk a couple of blocks for these poor people getting shot this weekend. I don't know that I would walk a couple of blocks saying, I want to defund the police. I mean, I understand that every police department like everything in life, no matter what it is, everything needs to be almost like, what did Thomas Jefferson say, every little revolution every now and then is a good thing or something. Everything needs to be reorganized, changed, reinvigorated every once in a while. And I think police forces are just like that. I think a lot of the people that are bad and so forth, a lot of times people make mistakes or they get afraid. And I also think that because of lack of teamwork, lack of communication, it seemed like the rioting weekend, the rioters were using social media to be two steps ahead of the cops everywhere. And I don't know that to be totally true, but it sure seemed that way. Do I think that there needs to be a lot of fresh air being brought into police departments? Yes. But when you talk about the year so far, there's been 5 police shootings in the city, and there's 329 other people killed. I refuse to believe that the police are the problem. But I really am curious as to, what do you think is first, both you guys? I mean, the chicken and the egg. Do you think that people won't talk about who the shooters are? That's the reason why allegedly nobody gets arrested. Now, do they not talk because they know nobody's going to get arrested? Or does somehow the fact that they talked, do the police leak that back to the gangs? I mean, if I talk to the policeman, like, does somebody know about it an hour after I did it? There's something in that is in this loop that's very, it seems very nefarious to me. And I mean, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, but somewhere along the line, when you don't even have an arrest in 84% of the murders, somebody's not trusting somebody. And are they not trusting them because they're just not doing their job? Are they not trusting them because they're leaking the name back, or think they are? Something's weird there, John. I mean, can you guys put your finger on it? Because I can't. I mean, the idea, I mean, you think if you told Marshall Dillon on Gunsmoke that Maddie shot somebody and he went down the block, that he was going to just whisper in Maddie's ear, this chief guy just ratted you out. I mean, you knew damn well that Marshall Dillon was going to come back with the guy. I mean, these guys, do they think the police are that incompetent that that's why they don't talk to them, because it'll get back to them, or what? Something's happening here.
I think once there's a sense that somebody has talked to the police or is cooperating and is likely to be a witness against somebody, that makes you pretty much a marked person, and the intimidation is so overwhelming that you are known to be, you know, a stool pigeon right away, and it's very unlikely that you will survive to appear and give testimony against somebody. There's such a it seems to be that the only way some of these things ever result in any kind of an investigation at all is that there's a presumption that somebody has gone off the reservation and talked to the police, and by whatever threats, you know, these gangs can use, they find out who it is, and you are dead meat, and your kids are dead meat, and your parents are dead meat. There's no way you can ever get out from under this. It's a vendetta, you know, carried to the extreme measures, worse than the mafia. And I think it's, you know, it's the fear factor is such that everybody knows that the gang members have the way of finding out who was responsible for talking to the police. And there's no way you can get in any kind of a witness protection program fast enough or secure enough to keep you safe.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the people, though, amazingly well-meaning, when they think the police are, depending on the neighborhood, I mean, there's a lot of bad, you know, I'm sure if you went somewhere in some parts of this country, it's the white people doing the shooting. I mean, it's not like this is because you're black, you're a hoodlum. It's not where I'm going with this, but I don't think a lot of, white do-gooders, I'll use that term, have any concept, and I don't either. I mean, when I was younger, I was closer to people because I worked in the school board and so forth. But none of this was happening with those days. I mean, there was no shootings every weekend in the bad neighborhoods I was when I was in the school board. I was never afraid to go there. Now, I don't know. Now I'm not so sure. But as a matter of fact, I am sure. I'd be scared bleepless. But, Larry in our office, he does our interactive broker stuff for the people who use that part of PTI. Larry, somehow or another, I've been on juries a couple of times. I always got sent to Daily Center. One time I had to spend 2 weeks in Hardwood Heights, John, doing nothing. Boy, that frosted the hell out of me. But poor Larry's been sent to 26th Street, like, twice. And one time, there's this guy who he's on trial for smacking somebody with a hatchet in the face, right? No, not a good scene. So these guys testify, and Larry goes, it was like something you wouldn't believe. They didn't even hold back. The dude who got whacked with the hatchet, they're selling onesies and twosies. You know what that is, Manny?
Loose cigarettes?
Selling loose cigarettes at some place at 42nd Indiana. So some guys, you walk in and you buy a pack and you come out and you sell them for what, 50 cents? I have no idea what the economics of it is.
Hey, you buy a pack, it has 20 in there for 10 bucks or whatever, and then you can sell a single cigarette for a dollar or 50 cents or whatever and double or triple your money.
Well, that's what these guys are all doing out in the street there and so forth. And one guy was pissed at the other guy. So he goes home, comes back with like a meat cleaver hatchet, whacks the guy. So Larry, I said, what do he look like? He said, and I took him to county, some guy who must have been a plastic surgeon. He goes, you barely can see the scar. They put him together. He looked great. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, you would think if you get in the face with a hatchet, you know, it's not a good day, right? But the guy who's the victim, he gets on the stand, and without any real prompting, says, oh, yeah, I've been on welfare for whatever how many years, like my whole life. Never really had a job. There's never been a day where I didn't take some sort of drugs. And for my little extra cash, I do this onesie-twosie things, and we, like, wrestle for who gets what corner. I mean, as a policeman, the violence in these things, I mean, people wrestling or fighting with each other over whose corner gets what, and if that gets what, how do you even deal with that? I mean, is anybody, where do these people even live? I mean, do they have an apartment? How can they even have an apartment? I mean, this is something, everybody's right. Yes, we should figure out how the hell the next generation, we're gonna cut this off somewhere. Not the money or whatever. Or maybe it needs to be used differently, or somebody. I mean, is there any way that we can have a regular job or regular service? I mean, I'd rather have somebody, you know, sweeping Marquette Park than I would, you know, stand in a corner selling twosies. I mean, I honestly don't know how to get there, Jan. But it seems like whatever we need to do to make a difference, we're spending a real lot of money, and it's not getting anywhere. It probably is. Some people, it probably helps. But we're being remarkably inefficient, it appears to me. You know, and a lot of people, when the economy is going down a rat hole like ours is right now, unless you're in a few spots, they look at people that are takers and they just don't like them, no matter what color they are, because they're tired of being the givers. And I'm not like that, but I understand. Remember the Star Trek episode where the guy says the Spock, the hippie guy goes, well, you agree with me, Mr. Spock. He said, no, I said I understood. I didn't say I agreed, right? Because there's a difference. But somehow this has to make a move forward, John, in the next generation. And I don't see anything percolating other than people pointing fingers at each other, making it worse, of that happening. Do you?
No, I don't. In my most cynical moments, I mean, I really see the likelihood that big swatches of the city are going to be thoroughly depopulated at this rate before much longer. And if you have the wherewithal to get out of a neighborhood where there's random violence, your life is threatened every time you go out of your house for a reason you can't even fathom, I think people are going to go somewhere else, and I think it's got the potential. I mean, you can already see it in big stretches of the South Side and the West Side, where, as you mentioned last week on the show, you know, a block where there's maybe two or three buildings left standing, the rest are vacant lots, and there's people hanging around. Compare that to what these streets looked like, you know, 100 years ago, when they were densely populated and had economies, had jobs, everything else. There's none of that now, and you just have stragglers who are kind of holding the thing together with some semblance of a residential neighborhood. That's changed dramatically for the become much worse, in my estimation, in the last 20 years.
Jen, you think that's by design?
I have to think somebody is not opposed to it, and they're letting it as something, you know, kind of work its way through in a way that they couldn't drop a nuclear bomb on an area to decimate it, but they can certainly stand back and not fight or worry about just this gradual whittling away of the population through neglect and killing kids. You know, if you had a year-old child killed in a senseless way, as these killings are senseless, Would you hang around if you had any opportunity to go anywhere else? Why would you take a chance again of starting down this road with a child and trying to give it the best chances, you know, every child deserves? You'd go anywhere else. I would. That's the only way I can put a frame around it. I think you'd be, you know, ill-advised to stick around and wait for this to happen again. And I think people who do have the wherewithal have gotten out, by and large. And the people left behind are the poorest, the oldest, and the meanest. And this is kind of what I see these neighborhoods turning into is you know, the competition for a corner, for the onesies and the twosies, gets tougher as the population drops. So to defend your corner or to overtake another corner requires more desperate measures. And you've got gangs.
Well, John, we got to go to break. When we come back, we're going to take a unique opportunity, because nobody knows more about title law and how deeds all get transferred around in tax sales than you do. So you're going to educate us on how the hell all this happens when we get back. S&P futures up 38, NASDAQ futures up 124. The whole world, whoopee, which is a good thing. I'm long. My people are long. So I wish I'd have put even more money to work last week, but I was careful, and being careful in this market probably isn't the right thing. You just want to be in, I guess, until that one day. I don't know when we're going to figure out when the one. Maddie, we'll get the memo, won't we, from the
White
House?
That's right.
We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. Do you know when the unofficial start of real estate season is in the Chicago area? It's actually right after the Super Bowl. Yep, it's the time when the guys will finally get off the couch and the families start looking for homes in the area. Now, interest rates also have been hovering around 4%, and the selection of properties are great. And if you're a first-time home buyer, there is an Illinois program that allows you to purchase a home for only 1% down. And that also applies to anyone who hasn't owned a home in the past 3 years. So if you're thinking about it, this is the perfect time. Call or email me, and I will send you a free list of homes designed to your specifications in your area. My phone number is 708-349-3456, or you can email me, Audrey Johnson, at Realtor.com. That's Audrey Johnson at Realtor.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
something happening here.
Lord, welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howard. Just met Warren on the board, Mr. Jan Flanagan. Manny, who the hell is Postmates? I should know this. Uber to buy Postmates.
It's another one of the delivery services.
For $2.65 billion in stock. Now, if you've never made a dime, and you can buy other companies with your paper, God, I'd love to have to be. PTI Securities never made a nickel fortune that we have. Yet some, we can buy Merrill Lynch for $4 billion in our stock that isn't worth the, money to wipe our behind with it to start with. That's what you know. you gotta love this world once in a while. This is starting to remind me of 2000, by the way. Anyway, every stock of the Dow is up except Intel. We've got Apple up another $5. Gotta buy Apple. But for those that don't, when I talk about the concentration in some of these indexes, it's not intuitively obvious unless you really think about it. But then it becomes obvious. I mean, it's not like our listeners aren't going to understand it, but if you today say, guys, I like the way this QQQ is moving, and then you'll say something like, well, I don't really just want to buy Apple, I don't want to buy Amazon, but I'll just buy the QQQ. Every dollar in a QQQ is essentially 48 cents into those five stocks. So you wonder why they keep going up. It's not like, I mean, there are people, obviously, well, I want to buy Apple. There's no doubt about that in Amazon. But the indexes, and the bigger they get, the bigger percentage of indexes they get. So whenever people buy the indexes, they got to buy even more and more. So it becomes this game to where you would think, oh, investors love Apple today. Well, no, if the Qs are going to be up, I've got the Qs up before 1.4%, you're going to get Apple, and unless there's something horrible news on Amazon, you're going to get them up 1.4%. Amazon's up 1.5%. Apple's up 1.5%. Ding, ding, ding. The connection here, you can't, I mean, when the more concentrated the thing gets, then you buy the index, you're increasing the concentration piece, or you're not getting away from those stocks if you ever thought you were. Tesla now, 1,283 stocks, like tripled in whatever. I don't quite get it. But Jan, back to you. I'm on page two, Paul Harvey here. But if you look at on the south side, And I reason why I bounce back and forth with this stuff, because everybody knows the one thing I honestly believe in is at the end of the day, virtually all facets of the economy depend on the other facets. It's either all going to be somewhat healthy or not. And they found that out in the 20s when half the economy was in a depression during a whole decade, and you know, and a few people in a few areas did swimmingly well until all of a sudden they didn't. Right, Jan?
Right.
And here, if you take the Rock Island, which is probably three blocks west of State Street, is that even LaSalle down there? All the way to probably 55th Street, maybe even a little further. You could probably wipe out, how many houses are even left, Jan? And you've got an entire, probably 2 mile, 1.5 to 2.5, depending on how far south you are, mile swath of the city with rapid transit, on three different lines, from the Rock Island, the Green Line, and the IC.
And the Red Line, too.
Oh, Red Line, too. The Red Line becomes the Green Line. Well, the Red Line's on the other side, on the expressway. Yeah. I guess I should have said the expressway east, but I used the Rock Island tracks. Let's say the expressway east, where you got the Red Line, too. But if you knock out another 200 or 300 houses, Jan, you're talking about damn near beachfront all the way inside. And if you're on the 100 or 200 year plan, which I'm not, I don't have any, you know, kids or grandkids. I mean, the University of Chicago clearly was, DePaul clearly was. When I was there 46 years ago, I mean, if you parked on the south side of the Midway, you made sure you hustled back there if it was dark. They had like one block, 64th Street, before the hood started, right? And, but now, every time something was for sale, they bought it. Something for sale, they bought it. 45 years later, what's their footprint? Is it five times what it was when I was there? Or four times? It's huge. So DePaul did the same thing. When these houses, and somebody all of a sudden can't live there, and when Jan and I are saying, this is not, we're not just messing around. Man, was it last year or the last 5 years, 80,000 black people left the city? Some huge number. I mean, we're down from what? We almost made it to 3 million people in 2010, right, Jan? And now we're back down
to
265 or something like that?
At the rate we're going, the undercount for the city for the 2020 census looks really significant. So, but it's still going to, you know, that trend has not stopped, that I, as far as I know, the number of African Americans leaving the city has continued to rise.
And these areas are empty. Now, the question is, now when this happens, I'll say what I think is happening, and you, of course, correct me. Somehow or another, somebody leaves. They walk. They're either a homeowner or they don't. They just walk because you can't sell a place when the thing is that bad. And then, or you're a renter and you leave or whatever it is. And now these things go into tax sale. They become, even though the building itself might actually be fine, it's now boarded up. People live in there. The city comes and knocks it down. Now, I think this goes to some kind of a tax sale. From what I gather from my our mutual friend Doc, not Dr. J, two or three groups are constantly struggling for these properties. One of them, 10 years ago, he told me was a group out of Ireland, and they never even came here. They just, if you can buy that kind of property in a city for that amount of money. So I said, if I walked over to the city or the county building, I don't know which one does this, and say, what room are the auctions being handed? They'll say, that would be the fifth floor, 504, sir. And I can go up there and bid. He goes, no, you can't get in that room. You're not even going to find out where it is. This is a closed group. Jen, who are these people? And how much do they pay for that? How does that title get transferred to them? And why does somebody want to own, who's 60 years old, you know, 400 lots over there, unless he has a huge family or something?
Well, it's either political connections, somebody who's got the inside track on development plans that have been percolating, and you know, in a particular area, and somebody, you know, can get in at the ground floor and has the connections to get in at all to bid at these sales, and all these buildings that have been demolished have demolition liens on them too, which you just add to the tax bill on it. But if you have access to information, and or you're part of the person pushing the agenda, and you've got some plan of your own, and you can amass enough territory to kind of become a player at the table where the city needs you more than you need the city, maybe, for whatever they eventually want to do with this property, then you could become a real player in this. And that's always been the case. I don't think there's anything new or novel about it, but what's happening now is we've got so many non-performing properties in the city that they're not producing tax revenue. There's not people living there. The schools that Emmanuel closed some years ago because there were no students in these districts anymore. That we haven't seen. That's a new phenomenon, and there's a suppression of the population and voting strength and optimism too, that I don't think we have any kind of track record on how to deal with. And it's getting worse, and I don't see any mechanism for improving it right now. I think there are factors here. The demolition of the housing project, Stateway Gardens and Taylor Homes, that should never have been built in the first place, at least not the way they were designed. It just completely wrecked all those neighborhoods.
Yep.
But now they're gone, and the neighborhoods are still, they're playing catch up.
There's nobody there.
Worse off.
Yeah, there's nobody there.
Even when there were people living there in the housing project. So,
well, that whole area on Cicero Avenue, there's nothing there. There's streets and that's it. They're just gone. It's like just a. It's worse than that, Jan. I'm going to ask you how much we would have to pay for those things. But Audrey, has had a friend. I don't know which one it was, but this lady owned. Somehow or another, she ended up two or three lots in somewhere in West Garfield Park. I don't know if they were willed to her or what. She had nothing but problems with these things, Jan. As far as she knew, as far back as anybody could tell, there had never been anybody built on the place, yet there was a water department lien on the property. Even though nobody going back, 50 years could ever, even there was never zoning of a building there, so who the hell was using the water, I have no idea. But she must have been one of the in the in crowd, and whoever was wanted these properties kept must have connected into something else. They had this, I'm just telling the truth. One African American lady cop every month would give her a citation for not cutting down the weeds in the property. Now, if you drive through these areas, everything's overgrown. So somebody clearly wanted that property and was paying this cop to make life miserable for his lady. And every month, she'd go down there, and because it was the second month and the fine would double, And every time she tried to sell it, they'd say, well, you got like, you know, a $10,000 water lien on the damn thing or something. So finally she used, what's this? That crazy legal outfit like LegalZoom or something? She paid those guys a couple $100 and they got the whole lien, the lien. And she had two lawyers before that couldn't get it done. Those guys did it in the afternoon. They just buzzed from department to department and said, no, there was never any building here, and got it waived. And then she was able to sell it for like $2 to probably whoever wanted it in the first place. But, I mean, what if we were connected, what are we paying for these places? Are we paying $1,000, $100, $10?
Well, selective enforcement of the laws, you know, you get some real inequities. You know, some property is worth more just because it's at a corner, or it's this corner and not another corner, and somebody wants it for whatever reason, and they'll make life miserable for that property owner until they, you know, get their teeth into it. And something else will just sit there, you know, there's nothing gets done about it. So I do think there is selective enforcement of things like this, and people just rattle people's cages to make life miserable and get them out of there.
Well, I mean, if somebody owns, you know, 400 of these things, what do you suppose their average price is?
Probably $100.
You think so? Yeah, that's about what I would have said. So, I mean, if somebody wanted to give me, you know, 400 of them, yeah, I'd pony up 40G for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, if you knew, you know, you might pay more than that if you knew something that the average person didn't know about where this thing was headed. You know, 20, 30, 50, 100 years from now, if there's some plan that you've got in your head or that you've heard about that is not public knowledge, I always feel like there's that kind of information, you know, that's floating around, and the average person doesn't know about it and isn't included in the game plan at all.
Well, take Lincoln Yards, for example.
Right, right.
Well, and then I'll ask both of you guys is, what has this COVID thing done to all these plans? Well, I can't imagine this Lincoln Yards going forward with 45,000 new people. I don't think the city is going to have 45,000 new people anytime soon.
Well, I think, you know, it's going to be important to look to see what happens at Davos this January, because, you know, their World Economic Forum meeting, the Great Reset, is going to be merging COVID-19 with the whole Green New Deal stuff and climate change and, you know, relocating people, industries away from areas that are threatened by global warming, by rising tides, whatever. And I do think that there will be, you know, pushes to relocate people, to collectivize property, to change zoning, to prevent single-family zoning. I mean, that's already happening in other cities. It's talked about in Chicago, too. We're going to see density that we're not used to and that maybe we're not particularly enthralled by, but that's going to become a norm, and it's going to be rammed down people's throats, and you're not going to be able to buy a single-family lot, and you're going to have, you know, neighbors up the wazoo, and you're not going to have a backyard or anything else to call your own. This is this kind of collectivized thinking that's going to come out of this next Davos meeting, I think, is going to throw us for a loop. And it's all going to be pinned to...
What if we throw a nice pandemic on there and knock off a few million people?
Well, you know, that's part of the whole, you know, I don't know how they're going to play this out, because you can't have density up the wazoo and have people safe from, you know, communicable diseases.
Well, you got to be careful about the couple million people knock off. You might be one of the people that get knocked off.
Right. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a completely scrambled message.
Yeah.
No matter
how
you cut it, and whatever is going to come out of Davos is going to be, you know, complete BS. But I do think that there's going to be an attempt to panic people enough to make them accept a lifestyle that they never would have chosen, and would never feel is fair, or, you know, what they're really interested in having. But it's going to be rammed down your throat. And I suspect that the cities will be the big losers in this. The cities are going to, they seem to have been targeted in some ways. This is why I have to kind of put all this together with land use issues and decimating the population, because there's something else that's going to happen that we don't know about and we're not going to be told about until it's too late to stop it.
Well, what would Matty Weber say, for instance, in your eyes? Would he grow a lot bigger if all of a sudden he were to spring like press passes for like you and I and Kevin and Lou and Carl to go to Davos?
That would be like going to a tax sale. They'd never let us in.
What do you mean? If we had the passes, and we'd have to make sure we had. We'd have to have a few shekels to buy a few martinis at $40 a throw, wherever they are over there. But
yeah, change my name and identity and everything first. So.
We'll just
come and get me afterwards.
We'll all go as Matt Weber. So, Matty, you can't even get us into a Cub skybox, for God's sake.
Well, I can get us in, but not for free.
Well, I'm sure the Davos we have to.
I can get us in anywhere, Chief, but we're going to have to pay up.
No, I want to just like the Stooges, press, pull. You know what they want. But every time somebody tells me about the census, all I think of is Three Stooges. Remember the one where they were census takers, Jan?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were running down the street, and they start writing some guy's name down, and we'd walk right by him, and the next guy'd walk by him, and he'd walk right by him, and some lady cracked Curly or something.
I have to say, I actually filled out the census this time, and I don't know if I've ever done it before.
I did, too. I always too. Do.
Yeah. I've been hired as a census worker.
Oh, really?
But it's been postponed so many times I've lost track. But there are encouraging signs because the last time I checked to see where my, you know, it says I've been selected. I've been hired as a field worker. I'm going to be an enumerator and you know, visit places where there hasn't been a census return filed yet. There was a big posting on their website until last week that said all field operations for the 2020 census have been suspended. Which meant, you know, they may never be resumed again. That posting has now been removed, and the census is now still asking for people to apply for census.
Janet,
so I suspect they're going to be reactivating this, and that there will be an attempt to get a more aggressive accounting of people in time to produce some sort of a census before the end of the year. So,
Jan, what's the?
I expect to be out of the street, Tom, with my little smartphone or whatever, talking to people who aren't too thrilled to see me coming up the front steps.
Well, I mean, two questions. I'm going to get back to this city values thing because like I said this whole COVID thing. I really am of the opinion that if we just keep letting this thing slide month after month after month, I just think that's the wrong idea. Now, do I want to force somebody to come back to work and them get sick, badly sick or something? No, I don't want to be that. But I think somewhere the price we're paying on the other side of the scale, shall we say, is almost as bad as what's. But having said all that, Jen, just in simple terms, downstairs, where Maddie and I have a building, Maddie and I live, we have a garden apartment. You know, went to a garden party. No, it's a garden apartment, and the guy who lived down there was moving out right about when the forms were showing up. So I don't think he filled any out. I'm not positive. Now, the girl who moved in, I think she said, well, you know, I filled them out on my last address. So now what should happen there? I mean, should she fill them out again or with her new address? Or did we just lose the spot, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, well, there's always been double counting. You know, people who have moved or were visiting when a census visitation took place, and then they go back home, and when they ride back home, they're enumerated by a completely different census taker in another state. And I've seen this in just doing family research. A lot of people were counted twice in various censuses. So there's always that possibility, you know, with people being fluid and traveling and having shared, you know, family arrangements where they don't live in one place for more than 6 months at a time or something. But generally the census was, you know, targeted towards addresses that were on file from the previous census and from the post office and from various local records, so that there are now, there's people living at address so-and-so, and there's, you know, 50 apartments in that building or whatever, and it maybe didn't exist in 2010, but it exists now, and every one of those dwelling units is a targeted area where they'll get a census return marked resident with that address on it and that apartment number. And whoever's living there is supposed to respond. Technically, even if I think you were already enumerated, you're supposed to respond. But, you know, that will always, you know, that really results in an overcount if you think about it. But there's always a much greater threat of an undercount with every census. So I don't think that's a significant problem for the census.
Well, the fluidity.
I don't remember when I filled it up, maybe you or Matt remember, if there was anything on it there where you had to certify that you hadn't already completed one for another address. I'm not sure.
But I don't. I mean,
there was not that I remember.
The Fluetti,
yeah,
though.
One either, man. I don't, yeah.
Manny, what do you suppose that the time frame is between the first notification and the last? It's got to be 6 months. Well, a whole lot of people move in that 6 months.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's a good point because it's definitely spread out. The number of communications.
Did you include Venkman?
I did not, but I did include my wife. Well, could have left her off.
I don't think you're going to do that.
No, I don't think
that's
so.
What good husbands do, right?
She was happy that I filled it out for both of us. I, of course, exaggerated the time it took me because I think it took me about 2.5 minutes. And I,
well, did you
I acted like it was some big accomplishment of the day.
Did you do the written one or did you go online?
The notice I got was written, and I just went online. They give you a web address, and I went online, and it literally took like 2 minutes.
Jan, they sent me one. It was the Bureau of the Census, but it wasn't the official census. Like a year ago, where they're doing some kind of a random. They claim they were doing a random sampling. It was 10 pages long. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
In there. What's that?
I think that gives them some kind of, you know. It's based on some kind of targeting of particular areas, and a certain number of people got that. I don't think everybody got it, but a designated percentage of people within a census district got that, and it was used just for statistical purposes to kind of get some baseline before they really started field operations. And I don't know how that is eventually tabulated. You can look at other censuses in the past, and every tenth person on a census page would be asked a whole bunch of questions that nobody else on that page was asked, and they would extrapolate that data in the final census, the published version of it. But it was just probabilities, it was statistical likelihoods. So I don't know how that is actually crunched with everything else. Just like I got this thing from the post office about 2 years ago. Here is your address. This is the address you should use. This is, your official address. I'd never gotten anything like this before, but it asked me to list the apartment number of the building that I own, as opposed to the first apartment. I live in the second floor. My co-owner lives downstairs. But I had to certify this was my address to use the +4 zip code, and all of a sudden now every piece of junk mail I get now has that whole official address on it, and I think it was as a lead up to the census to make sure they had an accurate database of all dwelling units that were in existence as of a certain date, so that they could start the census mailings with some sort of accurate expectations. We're in such deep trouble in Illinois. If the census undercount is as bad as they fear it's going to be, we're really going to take it on the nose, for reapportionment purposes, and we're going to lose congressional seats and political clout in Washington and everything else. So it's a horrible prospect.
Jan, are you? You talk to a whole bunch of people like I do, and obviously, because it's your unpaid job now too to be up on stuff because you come on the show.
But and I work harder at this job than any other one.
Well, isn't that always the way? Obviously it's my job to stay up on this stuff because when you manage money for people, I mean, that's what they expect you to do. And, I have found, I'm one of these people that never believes there, since I've learned just about everything I learned in life from people, I don't think there's ever been a dumb person anywhere. That's just not the way I look at people, but the people's inability, maybe they've just been home and watching one channel for too long or something, to put all this stuff together regarding, Amazon not paying the same amount of sales tax, or they don't pay property taxes like the store that's closed, and then you mentioned to people, your property taxes, where do you think this is going to end? Your property tax, your sales tax are going up, and they look at you like you have four heads. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do I mean? There's a hole here that's going to become somewhere. I don't check this every day. There was a thing on Yahoo, of all places, that Nashville was like the first one to raise their property taxes like 34% for next year. And they're blaming, the stuff with the lost revenue and all this stuff. I mean, where does everybody think this is going? I mean, and the people who are giddy about I guess the third-party people, you still don't pay tax, sales tax at Amazon, third-party stuff, right? If it's shipped right from Joe's camera shop in Oregon or someplace, I don't know, I never buy it. But I think they still don't pay, when I say pay, collect sales tax on third-party items. Anyway, but and people think this is like a really good thing. And I said, don't you think that this is going to come out in a wash somewhere else? I guess what I'm saying, John, is people seems to be inability, maybe because of the news metric today that isn't really news or something, inability to connect the dots on this. You know, I mean, maybe we're just older and seeing how things work together more or something, but if we don't figure out how to get some of these little, we only got 30 seconds here, some of these little areas back going, it's going to affect every other area. And I don't think people feel there's that connectivity here. And I hope they're right, but I don't think they are.
I don't think they do, and I think they're going to really take it on the chin because it's everything's going to start to collapse in on itself, and we're going to see political power, economic power, you know, happiness, everything greatly reduced at this rate. And people either have to steel themselves or they have to get really, you know, determined to do something about it, but I don't see people moving in the direction of worrying about it. So,
well, you got Kanye West running for president. You got that going.
Yeah,
for
well,
hey, it does give me somebody to vote for besides the other two guys. So maybe that's good.
Kardashian is first lady.
Well, yeah. Oh God, S&P futures up. You know what? Whatever. I need somebody else to vote for. Maybe I'll write in Jan Flanagan. I don't know. S&P futures up 40. Nasdaq futures up 132.
Check is in the mail, Tom.
Yeah, we'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Hello, and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Matt Warburton, board member, Mr. David Aylman with us as well. Let's see, futures down 41. We're putting a whip to a really worldwide here today. NASDAQ futures up 133, Dow up 385. Over in Europe, these guys are all up, but nothing like Asia. DAX up 225, 1.8%. FTSE up 111, 1.8%. CAC around up 86, 1.7. Asia, however, the Nikkei up 407, that's 1.8. Shanghai up 180, that's almost 6%, 5.7. Hang Seng up 966, 3.8. I could have sworn, man, that there were problems between those two as late as a month ago, and it seems to be, nobody worries about that now, do they? At all. Anyway, the 10-year yield, 0.69, the Bund, minus 0.43, and the Japanese, 10-year, positive 0.05%, which, you know, like I say, it's pretty solid into the plus column for those guys, and that's for a long time, it hasn't been there. Oil up now a penny, 40.66. Brent up 45 cents, 43.25. Natural gas, David, another 9 cents, 182. This thing's up like 40 cents in maybe 8 trading days. That's incredible. RBOB, 126. We've got gold is now up 430, 17.94. Silver up 29 cents, 18.61. Anyway, Air Force Traffic Weather Sports.
36 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We have a crash on the Dan Ryan local lanes inbound side just before 59th Street. That's causing some stop-and-go traffic, so expect some delays coming in inbound on the Ryan. We also had that earlier crash from this morning on the Stevenson. Still has the two right lanes blocked at Cicero due to a tow truck driver being hit around 2:45 this morning, so an investigation's underway. I-355 to Lakeshore Drive is up to 1 hour on the Stevenson. From the Tri-State, it's up to 51 minutes as that investigation continues, blocking the two right lanes on the northbound side of the Stevenson at Cicero. No issues on the Eisenhower. It looks like the Kennedy and Edens are looking okay, too. Those are the big crashes on the expressways. Off the expressways, out in the western suburbs, near Wheaton, Main Street at Roosevelt Road, there is a crash. And then in the northern suburbs, it looks like we have a crash. Actually, it just went away on my screen, so that apparently is all clear.
They beamed it up.
Yep. Everything else looking good out there. Weather today, sunny and steamy again, same as it's been the last several days, and will be all week. We'll reach a high of 90 today with lots of sunshine. Right now it's sunny and hot and 80 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, even hotter. Sunshine with a high of 112 today. Right now it's clear and 83. Chief.
I think the girl downstairs might appreciate us putting her window unit in today.
Yeah.
Just saying. You know. Anyway, David, how are you?
I'm fine.
Does this rally start to remind you of December of 99, right before Y2K, when the Fed was pouring money in and the market was flying up every day and companies and people didn't even know the names of?
No, it actually doesn't.
All right, I'm just asking. Just saying.
In some ways, yes. I don't want to seem obstinate. I mean, in, you know, relatively low concentration, 5 stocks, you know, absolutely doing all the most of the heavy lifting. Tech stocks, high cap tech stocks, in that way, it does. On the other hand, you know, valuations, I believe the NASDAQ was around 44, 45 times PE. I don't think it's that high now. I think it's more like in the mid to upper 20s. So, I mean, still expensive, but not quite as bad as that. The relationship between T-bill interest, what you can, you know, put in a bank or put in government T-bills, you know, safest instrument, presumably, and what the stock market yields was, you know, positive T-bills. Now it's, you know, negative. S&P and Dow yield substantially more than T-bills do, so that relationship is different. So, yes, there are similarities in what's leading and some high valuations, but on the other hand, in the interest rate environment that we have and overall multiples, it's different.
Well, it's always different. That part, you're not going to get any argument on that one. But
everything reminds me of everything.
But, yeah.
You know, I think there's, as much as there's some similarities, I think there's more contrasting differences.
Well, I always wonder, David. I mean, there are things that turn in the world. I mean, if all of a sudden, you know, somebody decided to pay off the World War One debt, you know, and our deficit got halved, although I don't think our World War One debt's anywhere near that big. That you know, that's an outlier sort of an event that you can say, you know, if we cured, I'm not going to say this is the world's worst disease, but if, you know, if we cured cancer tomorrow, of course there'd be cancer companies that would go down, right? But the idea, the market to me always had a discipline. I mean, back when I used to think it had a discipline, and the idea that you're on a White House whim or on a tweet or something, that all of a sudden everything is worth 2 or 3 or 5 or 6% higher, like in China today, I don't see. That means the people who were valuing stuff on Thursday were blithering idiots. But they're the same people today, you know. So I mean, these incredible changes don't happen to big companies and countries over a weekend. I mean, I just wonder. Everybody's flying right now. This is the spot to be. I mean, if you're not in the market, you're out of your, you're considered out of your mind, basically, right?
And then look at Tesla.
Yeah,
you know, you couldn't give it away at 280. Not that long ago, and now it's, you know, whatever, $12.50, $12.60 a share, and, you know,
$12.82.
Yeah, passing Toyota Motors is the largest, you know, capitalization automaker, presumably delivering 400,000 vehicles a year, including China, and Toyota delivers 10 million and has a larger margin. So yeah, it's hard to fathom. And at some point, one would think that price and valuation make a difference. But on some of these, I mean, hey, I've touted Shopify since, you know, $400, and now it's $1,040. You know, and I'm negative on the stock. You know, when COVID shut everything down, you know, in March, and I said, you know, hey, that's one to watch because of at-home businesses and the like. And I bought for customers, and I bought vertical spreads and whatever. Even at a rich valuation, I thought it was, you know, extremely valuable. Now at 40 times sales, I can't say that anymore. I can't think of how this company's going to grow into its valuation.
Well, you're funny you should mention that, because right after the 2000 collapse, I've told the story a couple times, but I was in New York with our buddy Dr. J, okay, which is always fun. I mean, whenever you run over John, it's a good time. And, of course, you have to be ready for the curveballs you get with Dr. J. So he says, by the way, what are you doing tomorrow morning? Like at 6. And I'm thinking, nothing yet.
Early tea time?
Yeah, early. He said, well, you know, it turns out I got two places to be in the morning. And I'm going, all right. So the least preferred is the one I'm going to get, right? So he says, how about going over to Brooklyn? Where I've never been. And Brooklyn is not like now. Brooklyn was, you know, this is a long time ago. Well, 20 years ago. And why don't you head over to Brooklyn? And literally, the lecture started at 7, you know. So, fortunately, you can get on the subway. You know, I was down on the subway, the balls of the subway at 5:30 by myself. And I make it over there in like 8 minutes, you know. So I'm there, God knows what time early. And it was right after the crash of 2000. And I had busily my whole life been an index trader. I'd go and I'd stand in my spot and I'd make markets, and we had spreads on all around the floor. You know, we do volatility type spreads, and which is not what you really do for retail people. But we always were joking about the dot bomb companies. They were running up, David. But it was just not part of me doing the fundamentals on them like I do now for some clients if they happen to have something like that. I just didn't do it. I mean, it was just not part of what I did. But after this thing crashed and I started doing more lecturing for people, I started studying some of it. And like you just mentioned, Cisco at one point was trading like 65. And their revenue was 6 or 5. So they were 10 or 11 times, not earnings, but revenue. And I'm thinking, and so, of course, the seminar I'm going to were people that want to learn about repair strategies because they just all got their ass kicked in the crash. In the room, I said, by the way, how many people in here have Cisco? Like 90%. And they go, we need a repair strategy. You guys said you got repair strategies. And I'm going, I don't know if I got a repair strategy from 6 to 60. Of course, I said, well, where'd you buy it? Well, 60. And finally, after you know, this kind of back and forth, when you guys said, can I ask a question? I mean, you guys were only asking here. Can I ask a question? When you bought the thing at 60, what were you thinking? What do you mean? It was going up. I said, the stock was 11 times sales.
Right.
Did you even like look at that? And there was a guy, he's probably still in business. I mean, I think Oak something something from Akron, Ohio, of all places, David. And he was the single highest returning hedge fund, or not hedge fund, fund at the time. You know, he wasn't like a S&P 500 fund. He had a fund where he did what he wanted to do, right? Cisco is his biggest holding, and he ran it from, I don't know, where did the damn thing IBO? Like 4 or 5 or something? He ran it from 4 or 5 to 65 all the way back down to 6. Never sold a share, never bought a put, never sold a call.
Okay.
Did the absolute U-turn. And you got to wonder, just like you're saying, in Shopify, 20 times revenue, I might...
40.
40. Well, yeah. 40. I mean, how do you even begin to think of how they're going to fill in that gap? How much revenue... How many other people? But I tell you what, I would, if I was one of those people, I'd be doing the same thing that Uber's doing this morning. If I would be buying every, I'm going to use the term real company I could, not that they're not a real company, using my stock. If people are dumb enough to take it, I'll give it to them. It's like giving them script.
Yeah. Except that Uber's buying Postmates, which has severe losses, and that's the area where Uber has really gotten hit. The rest of the company's been, you know, relatively profitable. So they're adding to the unit that is unprofitable with a more unprofitable firm. Yes, they're paying for it with stock, but you know, and I guess they hope to make it in scale, but nobody seems to be making any money anywhere in that. So I'm not trying to, you know, indicate that I know more than management, but I don't see it. They have to divert funds from their autonomous program, which would have been much higher margin and where they're making money, to a unit where they're losing money and buying a company that's losing more.
What I'm trying to get to is the term buying, they're using script.
Right.
I mean, right now, if I was Elon Musk, I'd be trying to buy everything I could for anybody who's willing to take. Hey, how about we give you 1 million shares out of Treasury? Okay, God damn it, he could buy General Motors like that. If General Motors don't have to take it, I'd do it. Why wouldn't you?
Absolutely, he could buy a significant portion of Toyota.
Yeah, I mean, when we're talking about stuff that's at valuation, there's no way on earth that Uber could have got a loan to buy these people. Who's going to loan Uber any money? Didn't they lose like a couple of billion last quarter or something?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
But this, when I mentioned the 2000, David, what I meant, the last push those companies got, in my opinion, was the money that flew into the economy to protect whatever we thought was going to happen in Y2K. And the Fed poured buku bucks, for lack of a better term, into the economy between October and December to make sure that if everybody's bank account, you couldn't, your checks didn't bounce, you could go to the bank and actually get cash, right? So, as usual, you add several months to that, and you see the splurge in the stock market, which was February, March of the next year, right? So, I mean, in some way, you're right. Every time it's different. But this to me, is an absolute Fed phenomenon here. I mean, there's just money chasing everything. And then it starts to move. And we're talking to guys here today. Jeff Sout sees a rocket ship rally that sends stocks up nearly 30%. I'm not sure he's wrong, David. He could very well be right. But the question is it the market going up, or the last, if you take the last 13 weeks of the money supply, we're talking, where's my numbers here? We're talking 32% the last half year on a year. That's an annualized rate, David. God's sake.
It's crazy.
Now, if they keep doing that, I think you got, you need.
Hey, you got it in Japan, you got it in China now as well.
What did China do to run their market up today? There must have been something.
Yeah, they announced easier credit to buy equities.
have you ever seen ever in your lifetime? Have you ever read anything about it that the solution to too much debt is more debt?
I don't believe I have. No.
And yet, that is the mantra.
I mean, I suppose you could say China and Japan. I mean, they got deficits and they're taking on more and more and more debt.
Well, are we officially buying equities with that stock?
We're buying, the Fed's buying, you know, 17 different ETFs of corporate debt.
Well, they gave the one company $700 million last week, the trucking company, in return for 30% of the stock. So isn't that a same as buying a stock?
Yeah. But also, you know, they gave details of 17 different ETFs, all, you know, debt ETFs, not equity, that they purchased.
Well, your buddy Munchkin came out this weekend and said now they're going to target individual industries that have problems. Maddie, we can conjure up a few of those, can't we?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
what do you say? Cheap and Maddie's hot dog stand?
Yeah, pretty much. David and Chief's used car lot that we don't even have yet, but that's why we don't have it. We're doing so lousy, we don't have any cars left. We don't have any cars, right? Now, if we got this loan, we'd go out and buy some cars. Just like how much money you make. I can only imagine why did it, first of all, don't take this wrong, listeners, because I love I love trading and I like my clients, but honestly, and I would take Maddie Wetter with me a second if I did this, because Maddie dresses well. He's a good guy, good looking guy, talks well, can have a cocktail with somebody. Maddie, you are a natural lobbyist.
Thank you.
That's not an insult. That, I mean, right now, can you imagine the minute the Treasury says something like that, the phone ringing on K Street saying, we got to make sure we're one of those industries. Can you imagine? Those guys could clone and they wouldn't have enough time in the day. I mean, obviously, we're sure we're talking airlines. We got to be talking schools, right? We're probably talking hospitals because they're all flat on their ass, but they're closing half the place. The places they make money was the cath labs. They were all closed. And treating COVID people, half of them probably can't pay. So I got to believe hospitals are in bad shape. Universities are in bad shape. Airlines, we know, they're going to be targeted again. I don't think they're going to target PTI, which is fine because we're doing okay. But still, feel free to target us, you know, and then give us a $1 million loan for nothing. We'll do that. But, I mean, right now, these guys have to be making a fortune to get the names of their industry and their company in these bills. I mean, what a job, David. There was a guy he just recently passed, Tom Boggs. He was the son of Hale Boggs from, was he Louisiana, Manny? I think he was. Kind of a senator, I think he was senator, representative something. And he actually, his sister was Cokie Roberts. Never many people knew that she was Hale Boggs' daughter, but she was. I think she just passed, too.
She was a brilliant political analyst.
Oh, God, yeah. Well, duh. It's not like the family didn't know anything. Can you imagine the conversation at that dinner table?
I mean, oh, my God.
Yeah. So, but he was with, how's this for the name of a firm, Maddie? Patton, Boggs, and Blow. was the name. Now they've added another couple names, but they were one of the biggest lobbying firms, and the CBOE had those guys like forever. And these guys, they probably have, I'm going to say, 40 firms, maybe. I have no idea how many, David. It was $10,000 a month from every firm just to watch out for their stuff in Washington. And then if all of a sudden there was a billion really needed them, then you had to pay like time for guys on top of that. I mean, the money is spectacular if you have that kind of a clientele. And of course, you know, your dad being a big shot in Washington, that gets you in. And
right.
So, but you should have seen this guy work a cocktail party, Matty. I could coach you into doing this. If there was, you know, especially when the cocktail parties are all a bunch of guys, an old fart guys. Now there's always like little groups of five and six guys talking.
Sure.
He would get a drink, and I don't think he might have been a big boozer, but he always had like three or four of these things a night to go to. He would walk, he would see everybody in that party in maybe a half hour. If there was a group of six old farts, he'd walk up and it would be a slightly off-colored joke. He always had a drink, but and always twinkling the glass, but you never really saw him take a gulp. And he would hit every single group. And of course he'd clean it up if there was a lady there. And within a half hour, he'd be gone. Yet, he talked to you, he saw you, he told you a little joke, told you he was a real guy, and I'll bet he had three other places to go right after that. This is every night when he comes to Chicago. I mean, it's a real talent. And yet, people just come sending the guy checks. And you know, when he goes to see a congressman, he's probably got 15 people. Now, for this guy, can you even imagine how much time's going back and forth trying to be the industries now in these bills?
Yeah, crazy.
It's just nuts. I mean, David, I think you and I would agree on one thing, maybe only one thing, that we're not going to go up 1.5% a day from now till the end of the year. We're either going to slow down a little bit, or we may even turn one of these days. And what do we do if we get a? Who was that last?
Well,
week?
You know, we did talk. You know, I said even though the valuations and this and that and the other, and even some of the technicals, I did say, you know, right before holiday closing, and July 4th being one of the most prominent seasonal reliability time periods, and the 3 days following, don't be short. And
you're
by
right.
The middle to the end of this week, you know, especially, you know, if we continue this upward path, maybe then hedge a little bit and take some off the table. So while I wasn't wildly bullish, I knew not to be short.
Someday, especially if the rest of the economy doesn't catch up, which it looks like it's going to have trouble doing, someday this too shall pass. What do you suppose that trigger is going to be? If all of a sudden... What? Taxes?
Well, when you said what will pass to make it go down, or what will pass where the market can...
Well, someday...
With its price and valuation.
But I mean, one day, people realize that Cisco wasn't worth 65 when their sales were 5. I mean, you never know when the day is going to be. But like you're saying, it's stock you were talking about. Someday, they're not going to be 40 times sales. Now, maybe the sales will grow like a mother, or maybe not. Maybe they'll say, what is this thing doing?
Well, no, they are, but still, 40 times is 40 times. I reached out, you know, in good faith, because I saw the cycle coming with at-home businesses, and I thought, crazy enough, that 20 times sales or 18 times sales was a decent value for that time period. I never thought it would go up 250%.
Well, I forgot last week who said it, Matty. It might have been the day AV was here. Somebody was on and said, I've been saying for a long time, which is easy because it hasn't happened, that one of these months we're going to get a 2% inflation number. And somebody last week said, right after the election, we're going to have 2 months of 2.5-3% inflation numbers, and we're going to collapse. They'll manage to hang on to it. They'll lie till the election, whoever wins.
And the crazy part about it is, and I'm not making a political judgment, as you know, but let's just say for sake of argument, the polls continue and Biden wins. Well, the Democratic Party is, you know, thought to be spend, spend, spend. So if we get big numbers then, and there's a Democratic administration, and they perhaps take both houses of Congress, then you're going to really see something.
It is striking that everybody accuses the Democrats of spending, and nobody spent... as much in like history in the last 6 months. We spent a lot.
No question.
David, take care of yourself. Talk to you later in a week. Okay. SP futures up 41. NASDAQ futures up 133. I hope everybody's long. Be back tomorrow, Stocks and Jacks.
Hey, guys.
What's up, G?
Want to go to Tchotchke's? Get some coffee?
Oh, it's a little early.
I got to get out of here. I think I'm going to lose it.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex, offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.